This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, rolling along here on a Wednesday, July 2nd. Yesterday was Canada Day, and the Blue Jays celebrated by pounding my Yankees. Obviously, the 4th of July coming up on Friday. We'll be off here on WGR Sports Radio 550, but not until then. We got today, we got tomorrow. I was just reading an article, and I mentioned to Joe Calley, who's producing today. I just happened to come across it. Apparently, Chuck E. Cheese is opening adult arcades. Like, all right, this sounds pretty cool. Now, there's adult arcades everywhere, but, you know, if you grew up with that in that time period, you're like, ooh, I remember playing and getting all the tickets. It goes back to when I was a kid, actually, Chuck E. Cheese. But it did get me to wonder, Joe, what was your go-to arcade game? What's always been your go-to arcade game when you run into an arcade? You say, if they got that, I'm playing it.
I'm a big Stacker guy.
I have no idea what Stacker is.
So it's like the cubes that move across back and forth, and you have to, like, line them up and stack the next row on top, and if you miss it, they like drop down and you only have two blocks to work with then, and it like lessens the higher you get up there to make it harder. Oh. And it moves faster. You know what I'm talking about now?
Yeah, I mean, like, I've seen games like this on the phone. People play games like this all the time, different kinds of games, right? Like this. And yeah, then you have, like, it kind of sounds a little bit like Tetris in a way where you're not fitting the shapes, but you have to make sure that you get everything done quick enough for the row, I guess, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, like, absolutely.
So it sounds like one of those types of games. Paul Hamilton joins me right now on the Western Hotline. He's at Sabres Development Camp. What about you, Paul? What was your go-to arcade game as a kid when you went into an arcade?
I played Donkey Kong a lot.
Ooh, yeah.
I can't think Classic. Of the name of the one that I played probably a little bit more. The one with the spaceships that kind of keep coming
Asteroids.
Down. Asteroids. Thank you. Those were the two basically...
Oh, the one coming down. What was that? Is that Asteroids? What's that one?
What was it called? Asteroids.
Is that Galaga? That's Galaga.
Yes, that's what it was called.
Me
that's
too. Correct. I love Galaga. We're on the same page here. You have that. You have Asteroids. You have Centipede. Those are, you know, Pac-Man.
Yeah, I
those
play
are
Centipede the, sometimes.
See, now we're showing our age here, Paul, right? I mean, these are the ones, like, these are the classic arcade games when you went in as a kid and you played. And then if you got high enough score, we put our initials. Did you couldn't put P Ham. You couldn't do that. What did you put for your regular initials?
Just PSH.
If you were the Okay, I got it. Because I would put Sal. I wouldn't put... My initials would be S-A-C. I'm not putting sack. I'm putting Sal, right? It makes more sense if I do that. So that's why I do that. All right, enough on that. I just opened the door up completely to get roasted here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Paul Hamilton is down at Sabres Development Camp. It continues today. We will hear from General Manager Kevin Adams. Paul will. He'll be in a scrum with him a little bit later this hour. We're hoping to turn that sound around for you so you can all hear what Kevin Adams has to say. Paul, what are the questions? You know, what are the topics? What's everybody going to be wondering from Kevin Adams? I would assume Bo Byram is top of mind, like when I said to you last week that J.J. Paterka would be top of mind. But what do we need to get to here with Kevin Adams with the media?
Yeah, Bo Byram definitely wears that stand. What is he looking at with that? You know, talk about, we'll talk about the guys, you know, like guys like Lyon, and where are you at with Alex Tuch? Because he can be re-signed now, what are the options? Talk about the market itself. There really wasn't a market all that great of a market. This is a year where players wound up re-signing right before, Brock Besser. Nobody thought he was going to re-sign with the Vancouver Canucks, and before free agency started, he did. The Florida Panthers signed all three of their guys. I thought at least one of those guys would hit the free agent market. None of them did. So it's really been it was a very different July 1st, where most of the free agents that you might want to consider were off the market by the time it had. Now, Nikolai Ehlers is still a guy that's there. It came out, Elliot Friedman had said that he probably wouldn't make a decision until today at the earliest. But, that certainly would be a very good pickup for the Buffalo Sabres. But there were reports last year when the Sabres were trying to trade for him and the Jets wound up not trading him at all, that part of the problem was, he would not sign a long-term deal if he came here. That also, I read that was a problem with Dobson, that wound up in Montreal this year. That, when Paterka was still around, it's like, well, he's not going to sign a long-term deal here, so there's not much point in trading for him. So, but that's the thing that really struck me more than probably any other year that I can remember. Basically, the free agents were off the market before the market opened, except for very few, or the middling free agents, but the top ones that everybody was talking about.
Paul Hamilton here on the Wester Hotline. His reports on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Well, Paul, I take a different approach to this particular topic, which is, well, if a guy's not going to sign here long term, I do understand you don't want to give up a valuable asset if you're just going to have a rental and you're not really fighting for a Stanley Cup. I understand that. I want to call him a rental in that situation. However, I also have the thought of, but if you're for the Buffalo Sabres, I think you have to start trying to get people here, get them in the building, and doing what you can to convince them to stay, because that's how things can start changing. Am I wrong to think that way?
Well, the problem is you're still having people that are asking to leave. J.J. Paterka wasn't convinced after playing here for 3 years. Bo Byram, for different reasons, doesn't seem convinced. I don't know if Alex Tuch is convinced. Kevin Adams said that Tuch wants to be here and Tuch knows how much he's valued. So those negotiations, I'm sure, have started or are about to start. But that's the gold standard right there. He was so excited when he was traded here from the Vegas Golden Knights to come to a team that was his team growing up, living in Syracuse, and was here all the time watching games. And he couldn't have been more excited to be a Buffalo Sabre. And now we don't know. I mean, has the excitement worn off? Has it not? Is he very much interested in signing long term? Does he want to wait and see what's happening? He can do that if he wants. He can play out the season and, wait and see, because he's under contract this season. So, take a look at it next year. But if you do that, you don't trade him at the trade deadline, now you've got an asset that might walk for nothing. So that's the thing right there, what you're talking about, try to convince him. If you can't convince Alex Tuch, who are you going to convince? I mean, with the way things are set up right now.
Tell us a little bit about Justin Danforth and where he fits in, Paul.
He's a smaller player, but he's fast. He's a pain in the neck. He gets in on the forecheck. He's always in your face. He's a very good forechecker and, grades out pretty well for you. Not the guy that is going to be, a 20-goal scorer for you. I mean, it's just another guy that, will be out there with Krebs or Doan or Malenstein or that group. But certainly a guy that I think fans will like just because, the way he plays and the tenacity he plays with.
Sabres, a year ago this week, traded for Ryan McLeod. So anything can happen during this week, as we know. We're awaiting the Bo Byram situation, how that resolved itself. But speaking of McLeod, they have signed him to a 4-year contract, annual average value of $5 million. How does that hit you, that particular contract for Ryan McLeod? Pretty fair for both sides, or do you like it one way or the other?
I wondered how that was going to go just because he had a career year, but it's only been 1 year. So how do you handle that in a contract negotiation? I mean, his high in goals was 12, and then he scores 20. And, what does that mean when you're trying to talk a contract for him? And I personally believe that he can do it again. I think he can be a 20-goal scorer on a consistent basis. I liked what I saw from him last year. And for him, it's not just the points that he might accumulate. It's the speed that he brings to the lineup more than anybody else. I mean, there are many that feel he's the second fastest guy in the NHL behind McDavid. And, he brings that speed. He brings the two-way game, where, you can put him out against any line and he can do well. He can kill penalties for you. He can, if you need him, jump up in the top six if somebody's injured for a few games if he has to. So, I think that's a good contract. And I suppose it could blow up in their face. I suppose it could, last year could have been an anomaly if you – held my feet to the fire and said, well, do you think he can continue? I think he can. I think he can be a consistent 20-goal scorer in this league and be a good two-way player. So, I think that was a fair contract.
I know the Sabres want to be harder to play against. That's kind of some of the moves they've aimed to make here. I also think they've kind of gotten faster here over the last, if you want to even go back to Norris, that trade, what they did, obviously McLeod before that last year, but even in the offseason here, feels like they've gotten a little bit more speed, a little bit faster in all the moves that they've made overall. It seems like that's something they wanted to gear towards.
Yeah, and starting with Clifton, I've talked about this many times that Lindy Ruff is going to have more of a say in roster construction, and almost everything I see has Lindy Ruff written on it. You saw how upset Lindy Ruff got last year with the penalty situation, and the Sabres just couldn't stop. Well, who were some of the main violators? Connor Clifton, Sam Lafferty, not here anymore. The turnovers leading to goals, leading to your team being 29th in the league in goals against, and just pretty bad defensively. Well, again, some of the guys that lost ice time maybe were put in the press box a couple of times for those types of plays. They aren't here anymore. And, some of the signings I see kind of has Lindy Ruff written all over it. To have a guy, Kesselring, I think is a guy that Lindy Ruff will definitely like on his defense and, with what he wants to try to build here. So that, even Danforth, somebody we talked about, I think is somebody they look at as an upgrade over Lafferty, and they were able to trade Lafferty. Lafferty never was what he was the year before when he played for the Vancouver Canucks. Now, he also played some center with the Vancouver Canucks and didn't play a lot of center with the Buffalo Sabres. But, so a lot of what's going on, and even, with the qualifying offers, Bernard Docker, I keep saying if Lindy Ruff wanted him on the team, he would have been on the team. They would have qualified him, and he would have been on the team. But who signed a contract is Johnson, and Ryan Johnson is a guy who turned into a good shutdown defenseman in Rochester last year that they would put out in those situations. And, now I ask myself, does Lindy Ruff, would he rather have Ryan Johnson in that spot instead of Bernard Docker? And, so those types of things, I think, you know, you look to Lindy Ruff's and what he wants on his roster and what he wants his roster to look like.
Yeah, Ryan Johnson's always been an interesting guy to me because I feel like he should maybe be in the NHL by now. He hasn't. Is that just too impatient on my part, or is this kind of where does the do you think the organization stands with him, and what have you seen from him when he's played?
Well, he's older because he spent 4 years at Minnesota. You know, most college guys, especially drafted in the first round, don't usually go for the whole 4 years. So that makes him older, and you know, he accounted for himself okay when he was here. In Buffalo, but then the first time he was up, he was really good, and then he started slipping. And I think a lot of that was going from a college season to a pro season. That messes up a lot of players. And I think when we got past the 40-45 game range, he started losing it a little bit. But last year, you know, it seems like he really grew into his own down in Rochester and might be ready for the assignment to be back into the National Hockey League.
Yeah, he'll be 24 at the end of this month. So you're right, older for a player in his like kind of pro situation, not an older player necessarily by age, might be time for him to kind of take a role in Buffalo, and we'll see what happens. Speaking of guys in Rochester and taking a role in Buffalo, Devon Levi's situation is interesting because they do sign Alex Lyon. Look, if Devon Levi were to beat out, let's say, quote-unquote, air quotes, beat out Alex Lyon for a spot in Buffalo, does that even guarantee him to be in Buffalo? Because they may still feel Paul... You know what? We still got to have this kid play. Yeah, he might have been better than him. He might have beat him out. But unless he really wows our socks off and we know that we can trust him to play 25, 30 games, we're going to have to put him in Rochester because that's the only way he's going to really develop. Would that be a fair way to assess it?
Yeah, I think so. And they have to develop players properly. And Johnson has gotten the chance to go down there. Levi has gotten the chance now to go down there and play for a season and a half, and it looks like he might get more. You know, just they have to be able to go down and like Kulik did. I think Kulik was developed properly, well over 100 games in the American Hockey League. I like Oslin here. I thought he played pretty well, and I think he should start in Rochester. You know, he got hurt, so you might say he only had a half a season in Rochester. Helenius really came on as the season went on in Rochester, but I still think, you know, there's more to come as far as development goes down there. And, you know, the two Russian defensemen, you know, one's been there a couple of years, one year. And so I think maybe they've learned the lessons of Dylan Cousins never played in the American Hockey League. Samuelson hardly played in the American Hockey League. You know, just a lot of guys who they rushed up here way too quickly, and it didn't work out for them.
Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline. Paul, obviously the Bo Byram situation, top of mind. One of the interesting parts of this is a team could offer sheet, right? But the Sabres, as we've said many times, shouldn't be interested in a bunch of draft picks. At that point, would you think maybe the team would just match the offer sheet and say, look, he's a good player, and we'll just have him, and then when the time comes, maybe we can trade him? Or do you think they would be interested in saying, you know what, let's just take the picks, and maybe we can package those for something later on?
No, they have the room for an offer sheet, you know, definitely. I mean, if that's what comes their way. So, yeah, I think they can handle it that way. Or if they really, you know, want to, you know, depending on what that offer sheet winds up, if they really want to, you know, get into, you know, well, we can get a first and a third. Or if the contract's higher, we can get a first, second, and third. And then you can trade those picks if you want to get other assets. So there's a number of ways they could go with that. I probably would match it. And then at least teams that trade for Byram would know exactly what the contract is going to be and, you know, move on from there. So it's just, you know, we'll find out from, you know, how much Kevin Adams wants to share when we talk to him in just a little bit.
All right, and Kevin Adams speaking to the media in just a little while. Paul, just update us a little bit and everybody out there about what's going on at Harbor Center Development Camp today. Tomorrow's the scrimmage and what they can expect if they go down there.
Yeah, it's just practice what you'll see today. Tomorrow is the 3-on-3 tournament, which usually a lot of fun, and you get to see a lot of like freelance hockey when it's only 3-on-3, and the players kind of take it seriously. They want to win the tournament. They get a trophy, and they get to take the picture at center ice and have fun with it. and they do. So it does get competitive too. You know, they want to win the tournament also. And I remember the year they had, you know, the two goaltenders. Portillo was here going up against Levi, and you know, they made it to the finals, and Portillo actually wound up winning that particular one. If you recall, that was he didn't have his equipment. His equipment didn't make it from home, so he was using borrowed equipment, I think stuff that Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen had worn before, and still, you know, won the tournament. So it's a fun time for that 3-on-3 on Thursday.
All right, Paul, I'll let you go. I know you got to get ready for Kevin Adams coming up here, and we'll hear from him in a little while. If anything really substantive comes out of that, we'll make sure we get you on here to talk about it. Thanks a lot, buddy.
No problem. Take care, and you guys will have that about a minute after it's over.
You got it. We'll turn it right around for everybody in the meantime. Thanks a lot. That's Paul Hamilton. We do have Daryl Reuter scheduled for us from The Fan in Cleveland at 11 a.m. Paul is going to be in the scrum with Kevin Adams, so we'll figure out where we want to kind of play all that for you, but we'll keep you updated on what was said, but we'll play the whole audio for you during the show at some point. It might be after Daryl Reuter at 11 a.m. Want to get with Daryl on what happened in Cleveland yesterday with their governor, the governor of Ohio, signing a bill that allows $600 million of public funding for a brand new Cleveland Browns stadium. So it is happening in Cleveland, apparently, but we'll get the full details from Daryl coming up at Cleveland, in Cleveland, and what that means. And it looks, by the way, that it looks beautiful, but it also looks like not a football stadium. So we'll talk with Daryl about that. It looks like a convention center they put a field in, is what it looks like in Cleveland. I'm not saying it looks bad. It looks beautiful, but it doesn't look like a traditional type of football stadium. Then again, I guess, you know, Minnesota didn't either, and that turned out to be absolutely fabulous, right? You go down in Orchard Park, that thing, you can tell that's a stadium. That's a football stadium going in right there. But not the case in Cleveland. $600 million in public funding they're going to have for their brand new stadium. He's on top of that. Plus, what's going on with the Browns and their quarterback situation and more in Cleveland. Daryl Reuter at 11 a.m. Kevin Adams meeting with the media coming up here shortly. Paul Hamilton is down at Harbor Center. It is development camp. I love going down to development camp. Haven't been down this year. Thinking of tomorrow. Thinking of going down there tomorrow. Maybe I'll do the show from down there tomorrow, Joe. Maybe I'll just go down there tomorrow, do the show, and we'll talk. We'll see. And then they have the 3-on-3 scrimmage going on.
Yeah, you know? You got to love development camp. It's always nice to be sitting by the arena watching it, you know. Free admission.
Yeah, and it's the time of year. Kids are off. Every year, I've taken Max down there. And what's really cool, I got to tell you, I've taken him down there each of the last, like, probably 3-4 years, I guess. And afterwards, the players, for the most part, they're really good about coming out and signing for the kids and all that, you know. So he actually has a jersey that we started a few years ago where we had some guys sign, and that was Owen Power's year. Owen Power and Jack Quinn were there, and it was like, wow, you got on this jersey. And then the next year, oh, just add on. So now he's got a jersey. It's actually one of those Heritage Classic. You know the Heritage Classic the Sabres played in against Toronto several years ago? Remember that?
Yes. Yeah.
It's that jersey. And now it's kind of filled on the back with just autographs from prospects, which is pretty cool, actually. You know what I mean? So you can't wear the jersey now because it's got all the autographs on it. But that's what it is. So it's pretty cool. So they've been very good about doing that. Yeah, we had a lot of moves going on in the NHL yesterday that involved the Sabres once again. And here we are. And I'm sitting here reading on social and, you know, people around that cover the team, talk about the team, content creators, fans. It just kind of feels like a deja vu, right? Not that we expected anything major necessarily this offseason, like to sign this big player. There are pipe dreams all the time for people. Mitch Marner was one of them. I mean, yeah, even I got caught up in, ooh, could they get Mitch Marner? Could you convince him to come to Buffalo? But in the back of my head, I'm like, yeah, it's not happening. And it didn't happen, obviously. He goes to Vegas. That's a sign-and-trade. Signs an 8-year, $96 million deal with the Vegas Knights, right? Then you have the Nikolaj Ehlers situation, which is still out there. Could the Sabres take a whole bunch of money and say, come to Buffalo to play? And maybe, but then I read one of the, who was it? Maybe Elliot Friedman. I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. Somebody said he might want to play in a warmer climate. You know, not meaning like not Buffalo, just meaning like his next stop, somewhere warmer, somewhere that he wants to, you know, contender. Of course, right? Everybody does. Warmer and contender. I guess that would be on a lot of these guys' lists. I'm not really sure. But, you know, money can really kind of change your thoughts on a lot of things. But is that something that you think the Sabres could be in? And then you have the Bo Byram situation. That's the one It's kind of the one card, the one piece that you hold up and say, you know what? Like, that's maybe our ticket here to do something a little bit more substantive. There you go. Maybe that's the one piece that you might be able to do that with. And I'm not sure. You know, I think that you could probably get a pretty nice, you know, deal for Bo Byram for teams that are looking for a player like him. He is not a bad hockey player, right? I think at this point, the question for the Sabres is, you know, can they get somebody that can fit A in their top six? Maybe. And if not, what does that look like going forward? Do you hold out? Because you can't, I don't think you want to trade him for something that's completely undervalued for a player that can still help you. A player that when he was with Dahlin last year, he was pretty good, actually. And he, I know he doesn't play on the power play. That's Dahlin in power. But this is not a bad hockey player. This is a good hockey player. It's someone that I think lots of teams in the NHL would like. But you also don't want to undersell him. I think it's a tough situation dealing with that where you want to make the deal, get something to help you, but are you really getting something to help you? And then you have the offer sheet situation, which is, okay, if a team says, well, you know what? We're not going to trade you anything, but we're just going to offer sheet him anyway. Now the Sabres would have a choice. Do they match the offer sheet and pay him whatever that money's going to be? Or, and say, like, you know what? It's a bit of an overpay. But he's a pretty good player and he can help us. Or, and they have the money, as Paul said. Or do they say, you know what? You can have him and we'll take the picks. I'm not interested in picks. I'm just not. However, when you're talking really high draft picks and first round picks and future firsts and a first and a third or whatever the compensation is on what the based on the offer sheet, maybe then you take those picks or one of those picks and you try to spin it for another trade for something else. But when do you do that? Do you do it now? During this offseason? Is that even possible? Everything's kind of used up now. Like these are, yes, trades still happen. The Ryan McLeod trade happened, as I said, last year. I think on July 5th last year, if I remember right. Like it was just almost a year ago now. But there's not a lot out there still to do. So I think you're kind of caught in a tough situation and already in an already bigger picture tough situation if you're Kevin Adams here and the Buffalo Sabres. Jeremy and Joe were talking this morning. You know, what if you sign Bo Byram, re-sign him, or you trade for somebody that and you sign that person's got a deal that would be what Bo Byram's going to command, kind of similar, you're actually getting pretty close to the cap. Like for a team that doesn't spend to the cap, hasn't spent to the cap, like they're getting closer and closer, and one deal like that is going to get them there. And you nobody can then say they don't spend to the cap, or you could say it, but it's going to be really a lot closer, and they'll be kind of in line with a lot of other teams. But how good is the team? Like, how good is the roster at that point? And that becomes the question as well. A lot on the table today. Paul Hamilton's going to be in the scrum with Kevin Adams. We'll have that sound turned around for you here as soon as we can and when we can. And we're also going to have Daryl Ryder from The Fan in Cleveland join us at 11 a.m. Sal Capaccio with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. Stay with me right here. We'll come back. And if we hear anything from Kevin Adams in the meantime, anything that's noteworthy, we'll pass that along to you. We'll get a little bit more into the Sabres roster. I kind of want to break it down a little bit and kind of decide, you know, what they need to do. And maybe some under the radar type of moves that they could still make here that we'll see what could possibly happen and how this roster could shape up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Your calls as well. 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
I mean, obviously, the winning regimen they've put up through the last 5 years, of really since they've been in the league. Got such a competitive team every year, got such good players here. You know, the living arrangements, from talking to Patch Rady and Revo just through the last couple weeks, you know, it seemed like everything was a pretty good fit for my wife and I and our new son. And yeah, the winning aspect of this team really helped in everything as well, and, you know, the great players they have here. So, luckily enough, it all worked out, and, you know, this is where we wanted to be.
That is Mitch Marner. Signed a 8-year, $96 million deal, I believe I read. I want to make sure here. Vegas. By the way, projected cap space for Vegas, I'm looking at Puckpedia. They're over the cap by $7.6 million right now. That's what it says. They're over the cap by 7.6. That's projected cap space. Honestly, like, if this is the NFL, I could tell you exactly how that works when you're over there right now, but I can't for the NHL because I'm not totally, like, in tune with those rules, but it feels like you shouldn't be able to operate if you're over the cap. Maybe they're not right now. It's projected, so I guess it's, like, counting their RFAs, I guess, is where you'd kind of land on that. Mitch Marner, $12 million a year. I mean, we'd be okay, right, Joe, if you found out that the Sabres had made that deal for Marner. Like, well, you know what? He just wants to be paid $12 million. Guess what? Sabres want to give it to him. Bam. I want to go to Buffalo. I want to hang out with Josh Allen. I'm a Bills fan. Bam. Sabres give him $12 million. We'd be cool with that, right?
I'd be more than okay with that. Mitch Marner on the Sabres, I think that'd turn a lot of things around. But
I don't care. $12 million. So what? You know, if someone says he's not worth $12 million, I don't care. So what? What's he worth? $10 million? Great.
Right. With their current situation, it's time to overpay for a big guy, I think, a big name. That's where we're at.
By the way, I'm looking at Vegas' page, by the way. Eichel's got 1 year left at 10 mil.
Yes.
Is that interesting?
It's interesting because
I'm not saying from a Sabres standpoint. I'm just saying from a Jack Eichel standpoint.
Yeah, you can look at it from two ways for Vegas. Marner might be an incentive to keep him there, that tandem mm-hmm. up there, right? But also it could be, oh, we've got, you know, we're going to get another superstar in the door. So when you do inevitably leave, we're not left with nothing. So there's a couple ways I think you can look at that. It's pretty interesting, though.
Where is Jack Eichel playing in 26-27?
I think in Vegas still. I think after they go on a big run with Marner this season, I think he's going to stay.
Probably right. But you know it's out there, like the Boston thing, right? And the Rangers have always coveted Eichel.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't count Boston out from landing him.
No.
Because I don't think they're going to be that great this year, so they might try and start rebuilding a touch in my mind. So that would be a good piece to move in there.
All right, let's go. Let me get to some posts here from you. Getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Richard says, from my talk earlier about Bo Byram, and if they match the offer sheet, and that maybe, you know, you get a couple things on this. Let's just say the Sabres let him go, I should say. There's an offer sheet, and they let him go, and they get the compensation. First of all, before I get to his tweet, want to thank Josh, who tweeted in and said, you can't trade the player if you match an offer sheet for 1 year. And that's right. I believe that is right. And I'd forgotten that rule, but that's right. So, but okay, fine. Maybe next year you do it and you still have the, you know, you still have Bo Byram for a year, whatever. But you're right. It kind of takes away what you're trying to accomplish this year. So I totally get it. On that note, Darth tweets in, Darth Richard says, yeah, well, Sal, the number nine, like it was so coveted. It wasn't. And that was my point. Like you couldn't get a lot for number nine. But if you do get a couple, of picks, if you have two picks in the first round, I think that that changes the equation a bit. But my point is, I don't want the picks. I don't think that's the case. But do the Sabres feel you might as well just do that instead of paying Bo Byram? I guess that's the point I was trying to make. So thank you. Yes. I'm not telling you, Richard, that I think the Sabres should just, take the compensation from an offer sheet and spin it because you're getting something great. My point is, it's a tough situation because you're not going to probably do that. However, a couple of picks in the first round could help you, including one that might be higher, who knows. And that would be in lieu of paying Bo Byram if you don't want to do that. Or you're paying him to be on your team, which is not bad. He's not a bad player. But, you know, what does that look like going forward? It's not a great situation here, talking about all of this. 803-0550 is the number to call. Okay, so I went to the Sabres Puckpedia page. So Puckpedia is really good, by the way. Puckpedia.com. This had replaced the Cap Friendly page, essentially. Didn't replace it. It was always existed. But Cap Friendly was your place to go for all of the NHL contract stuff. And then the Washington Capitals like bought the site from the person running it. So, okay. But now Puckpedia does a really good job. And I think they have pretty much everything you need here. They do for me, I'll tell you that. It is interesting looking at the Sabres. Now, I don't know. I have to go and look at every team, see like where most teams fall with this, to be honest with you, Joe. But I mean, so maybe they're not unique. The Sabres only have two forwards, actually three now that they signed Kozak, but I'm going to say two. Two forwards under contract beyond 2 years from now. That's it.
Yeah, that's... I mean, I don't really, that's a little concerning for
me. Wait, three forwards. I would say three forwards. They have Norris, Thompson, and McLeod. That's it, because they signed McLeod. Sorry, I have to add McLeod in there. They signed Norris, Thompson, and McLeod. The point I'm making is this, though. Every other forward on the Sabres, Zucker, Tuck, Greenway, Quinn, Danforth, Krebs, Malenstein, Benson, Doan, Kulik, all of them, their contract expires either now or when looking for, you know, what they're doing, or after next season.
Yeah, it's going to be, I don't even know how to look at this, because in my mind, there's one more shot, right, for the current regime in the front of it all. And then you are kind of looking at these guys moving on to different franchises and maybe trying to move them on the last year of their contract. So it's kind of a do or die moment in my mind, but it's unsettling to hear names like that, like especially at the top, like Tuck, somebody who's from Syracuse, grew up a Sabres fan. It's a little unsettling to hear that they haven't quite gotten anything done with him yet, and his name was kind of mentioned here and there, but you hope they get him on an extension and maybe a couple others, so they have more depth going forward, I should say.
So, by the way, congratulations to our Zach Jones. He has signed a deal with the Sabres. I'm kidding, but in, same name. This one has no H in it. Our Zach Jones has an H in his name. This is Z-A-C. That was yesterday. They announced some guys with some two-way deals. Zach Jones now in the fold with the Sabres. Don't expect really much for him to be maybe playing in the NHL or whatever. Either way, if you look at the Sabres forwards, just thinking forwards now, look at their depth chart and how you want to Look at this. They still have, I think, a gaping hole in their top six because now everybody kind of has to move up a little bit. So right now, I guess if you take it Puckpedia, what they're saying, and I'm looking at our Brian Mazurowski from WBEN. He tweeted this yesterday, or this morning, I should say. And this is a screenshot of it, so I'm looking at it right now. As of right now, it's Norris with Thompson and Benson on the top line. McLeod with Tuck and Zucker. That's your top six. I actually don't mind the third line, Kulik, Greenway, and Quinn. I don't think that's a bad third line. What do you think?
I'm in agreement with you on that. I don't think that's the worst you can do by any means.
Then you get to your fourth line, Krebs, Doan, and Malenstein right now. I don't know what Josh Doan's going to be. I mean, they trade for this kid, and sure, that's nice, you know, piece to come back with Kesselring, but I don't know what he's going to be. Is he even, you know, an NHL player right now, full-time? Malenstein. I mean, if there's a guy out, what do I need with Malenstein? I'm not looking for that particular group. Who cares? If I replace Beck Malenstein with somebody like him, what's the big deal? What I need is for someone to push Benson down and Zucker down maybe, and whatever. You can play with guys. I mean, Zucker had a nice year last year. He's a veteran. But I still need more in my top six right now. And I think that's where the Bo Byram situation comes in. Like, what are you really doing if you don't help your top six at this point? After, like, this top six looks a lot different if J.J. Paterka is still here. Because now everybody pushes down a little bit. So that's what I'm looking, and that's what I need.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And they haven't replaced Paterka yet. And I think that's the big thing that's standing out to people right now at this point, free agency. So if they do that, you immediately are in a better spot. But they have to do that.
The other part of this is, and by the way, what if it's, I've seen this floated around. What if it's, okay, Byram plus someone from that grouping that, you know, I just talked about? Is this Benson involved, right? This is a young player you like. He's under cost control for a while. Like, now you're dealing with, okay, we still have to replace him. I'm not saying he's, like, replacing JJ necessarily, but you still got to replace him, right? Like, whatever's going out, you still have this hole, and if you're going to create another hole, you have to fill that as well. But when I hear about these deals that could be out there for Bo Byram, I don't know. That's nice, but just give me someone to put in my top six, however that's got to look. But if I'm taking out of my top six, at least if it's somebody that I'm fine with replacing him there, because right now you have to, that's fine with pushing guys down. There was a point I was going to make here about it. Oh yeah, here. The other point I'll make about is this. I can't be confident enough, and I'm sure most of you can't be confident enough, in Joshua Norris staying healthy. But if Joshua Norris stays healthy, that could really change the equation for this team. I mean, he could be a guy that could really help this team and help everybody else around him and what's underneath him, as far as lines go. I mean, he scored 35 goals just a few years ago. He had 20 goals in 53 games last year with Ottawa. 21 total in 56 because he came to the Sabres for 3 games and got hurt. But he hasn't played more than 56 games in 3-4 years and no more than 66 ever in an NHL career that's lasted 6 years so far. He's a very, very talented player. He is your number one center when everything is in line and healthy. I just can't be confident that that's going to happen. But if he is, I think it does change how this team could look and shape itself as you go forward. Let's go to Mike, who's in his car right now, so I'll get him on now. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys. You know, I guess the frustrating thing to me is we went into the offseason saying we needed to add to our top six. Instead, we lose a top six, and now we're talking about trying to get back to where we were last year when we still needed to add to our top six. I was hoping the offseason comes and we package Byram, Quinn, and a prospect and keep Paterka and add to our top six and get better. What we're talking about now, if we try to get somebody in our top six, who's better than Paterka or as good as Paterka. We're no better than we were last year in our top six. All we've done is improved our defense a little. We haven't done anything really in terms of our goaltending. And it's just another year of the same old thing. It's you've got a GM that should have had an assistant GM who's a veteran come in 5 years ago when he was brand new to teach him the reins, to learn the game, to all the things. Now you bring him in 5 years later, which is bass-ackwards. This whole franchise, everything that's happened in the last 14 years has been just a crap show. And it's so frustrating as a fan. I mean, I've been watching the Sabres since 1970. I mean, I'm an old guy. And it, just to watch it happen time and time again and to have this GM talk down to the media the way he has and act like he's of some...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Type of a veteran in winning in this league is so frustrating. That's all I got to say.
I hear your frustration, Mike. I get it, buddy. I do. I'm right there with you. You know, we get a lot of calls from people, whether it's this show, Sabres Live, One Bills Live gets a lot of these types of calls where a fan will say, I've been with this team since 19, whatever. And that's Bills and Sabres. I've been a fan since then. And I don't know. I think people feel sometimes the need to qualify that to tell you how passionate they are. And you're not wrong, Mike, for saying it. I'm not criticizing you for doing that. Because I think people always want you to know, I've been through the thick and thin, and this is as bad as it's ever been for me. as much as the thin has been bad in the past, right? And I get it. I'm right there with you. As far as improving the top six, you could make an argument like, yeah, I've been sitting here for the last 20 minutes telling you they haven't gotten better in their top six. They have this huge hole because of J.J. Paterka. I mean, but we also know J.J. Paterka has some deficiencies on the defensive end. I still believe he's an ascending player who can fix those, and he's still developing. So I don't want to just dismiss. And I was sitting here last week going, hey, like, this is a guy that still could be much better in his own end than he is now. He's young. But you could make an argument that you could be better in your top six, depending on some moves based on that. This is not a team that struggles to score goals. They did on the power play last year, which is an issue in itself. But they're not a team that struggles to score goals. They're good 5-on-5. JJ was one of the better 5-on-5 guys. So I'm not going to dismiss entirely they can't get better in their top six based on what happens. That's got to start with a Bo Byram deal, I think, that can, you know, make something like that happen. But we'll see what Kevin Adams has to say about that today. He's meeting with the media down at Harbor Center. Our Paul Hamilton is there. We'll have that sound for you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Daryl Reuter from Cleveland is going to join me at the top of the hour. So we'll take a little detour here, talk a little football, Cleveland, what's going on with their quarterback situation. And a big reason I wanted Daryl on, he's been all over this stadium stuff in Cleveland. They finally have it all kind of finalized and realized, and they're getting a new football stadium in Cleveland. We'll talk about that as well with Daryl Reuter of The Fan at 11 a.m. In the meantime, more of your phone calls, 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. All right, Kevin Adams just wrapped up down at Harbor Center. We are just turning that sound around for you, making sure we got it all buttoned up for you, and I will replay that for you very shortly. But in the meantime, before we do that, by the way, the big news that he said the Sabres are prepared to match an offer sheet for Bo Byram. I have thoughts on that. I think that could be posturing, by the way, to let any team know, hey, we're going to match it anyway, so just, you know, trade what we want to trade with you. But either way, we'll get all of that to you in just a moment. In the meantime, Daryl Reuter, our good buddy from The Fan out in Cleveland, joins me right now, 92.3 The Fan, our Odyssey sister station, on the West Her Hotline. Good morning. I know you've been doing the morning show over there, so I appreciate you doing this afterwards.
You betcha.
You got it, buddy. All right, so the reason I reached out initially, and I obviously want to talk about what's going on with the Browns, is you've been all over the Browns stadium situation. We've talked in the past about it, Daryl. It seems like it's finally there, right? They've crossed the finish line. Kind of give us an update on what happened yesterday and where things stand with building a brand new stadium for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, the Cleveland Browns will be leaving the lakefront and building a $2.4 billion enclosed stadium in Brook Park. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine signed the budget the other day, and included in that budget was a $600 million grant for the project. They found a creative way to do it without using actual tax dollars. The state of Ohio has nearly $5 billion, that's with a B, dollars in unclaimed property funds going back decades. And so what they're doing is using what's called an escheatment law that allows the state of Ohio to basically claim the unclaimed property. And in this case, they're going to pull $1.7 billion out of that fund to use for statewide stadium projects. This isn't just the Cleveland Browns thing. The Cincinnati Bengals are going to get around $400 million for their stadium renovation. There's going to be $700 million left over when it's all said and done to assist, whether it's the Cincinnati Reds, the Columbus Blue Jackets, any other pro sports team in the state with renovation and stadium project dollars. And that fund will get replenished. And also, too, if folks in the state, because there's this narrative out there that people's money is being stolen, and that's not the case. The fund will be replenished over 16 years with $100 million each year. And the neat little thing that the state did was, in case the Cleveland Browns overpromised but underdeliver with the dome as well as the adjoining mixed-use development that they're going to build for about $800 million, and that's privately financed, the state, if the tax dollars don't match the projections, the state gets to go into an escrow account that the Browns have to pay for and claw back the money to make the balance sheet work. So it has been a very hotly contested political issue. There still is not a lot of support locally, including from the county here for this project, even though it's staying in the county. But it's pretty much a done deal now that the Browns will be getting their new stadium in 2029.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit so here in Buffalo, as you know, building a new stadium right across the street from Kern Highmark Stadium. And the way that was written in is any overruns on top of, I think, the $1.2 billion it was costing, any overruns the Pegulas are responsible for. And guess what? You build a stadium over a three-year period, there are a lot of overruns, especially considering the costs of materials, including steel, obviously.
The next thing that gets built on budget will be the first. Now, the Haslams are going to pay $1.3 billion toward the dome, plus the $800 million in mixed-use development. So that's $2.1 billion they are investing. That is the largest investment in the Cleveland area ever from, private, means. And so they are also going to pay the overruns for the dome as well. So it's not only that it's $2.1 billion, it's $2.1 billion plus the cost overruns, which, as you guys know, up there in New York could end up totaling in the hundreds of millions of dollars. So, this is a pretty significant investment by the Haslam Sports Group, the owners of the Cleveland Browns. And it's unfortunate that the narrative locally amongst the politicians has been that they're getting a free ride, that the Browns are just getting free money and this gifted this new stadium when, yes, there is public dollars involved, but also, too, the team is putting up the second most money of the nine active stadium projects in the National Football League right now.
Tell us a little bit about Brook Park. I like where the stadium is located now. Obviously, it's kind of tradition and history right there on the waterfront. It's right near the baseball stadium, right near the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's a great space, a lot of great restaurants in that area. What's going to change? Where is Brook Park in relation to that for people who might not know the area intimately?
So if you've ever flown into Cleveland, that is where Brook Park is. It's right across the railroad tracks and highway from Cleveland Hopkins International Airport, and the site that they're going to build on, there used to be an old Ford plant there that has since been cleared away. There's still a Ford plant there as well, still active today. But it is a sizable piece of land, 176 acres worth. And again, it's not just they're putting in a stadium surrounded by parking lots. They're also putting in this mixed use development. They plan to put in some retail, hotels. There aren't a lot of hotels around Cleveland's airport. That's one of the regional criticisms folks that come to visit have, is there isn't enough around the airport. You have to go elsewhere. Well, this complex, and this is smartly done by the Haslams and the Browns, this complex will actually be able to help service the airport, which, oh, by the way, Cleveland's getting a new airport too. That's coming over the next 6 years or so. It's a $2 billion project. They're going to build a whole brand new terminal and reconfigure everything and whatnot. So they're hoping to try and tie into that in some way, shape, or form. But you got two interstates and a couple of state routes around the thing, so the infrastructure's there. Unlike the lakefront, where there's one way in and one way out, this is going to have multiple paths to get in and out of it. And with a lot of Browns fans living in the suburbs, it should be a little more easily accessible than the lakefront. But, you know, obviously the muni lot stories are legendary. More fun is had in the muni lot than the actual stadium. That's the history of modern Browns football. So most of the good times when you think about the Cleveland Browns and their storied history, unfortunately, that's 30, 40, 50, 60, and 70 years ago.
Just another minute or two with Daryl Ryder here, the fan in Cleveland. Then we'll get to Kevin Adams' scrum. He just completed that down at Harbor Center during Sabres development camp. I'm looking at the renderings of this thing. It looks beautiful, but you would never know it's a football stadium. I said it kind of looks like a really modern, awesome-looking convention center with a football field. Am I being too critical or harsh when I say that?
No. So I've already nicknamed the place. I call it the Barn Dominium because that's what it looks like. It looks like a Barn Dominium. It's great. With a glass roof. So what they're doing, because the airport's right there, this is going to be built similar to SoFi, where they will dig 80 feet into the ground, and the seeding bowl is going to be 80 feet into the ground, field level, and all that. So it's going to
that's the way, by the way, that's the way Highmark is right now. Right now, Highmark is way into the ground, and the new stadium is going to come out of the ground, kind of like your stadium now is. Interesting.
Right. Well, and so they did that for a couple reasons. One, the airport. Two, cost. Less facade on it, which means less material you need, right? It'll all be in the other nickname I have for it is called the basement, in tribute to the fact that it's going to be 80 feet in the ground, and also that's where the franchise has resided for the better part of the last three decades. So it goes hand in hand, but you know, it's actually the same folks that designed Minnesota Stadium, U.S. Bank Stadium, they're the ones designing this one for the Browns. There's a lot of Cleveland architectural tributes paid. The glass roof pays tribute to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Cleveland Museum of Art, who have those big, massive glass atriums on them. It's going to still feel like it's an outdoor stadium, even though it's going to be indoor. But like I said, you're going to be at field level 80 feet down to comply with the height requirements around an airport, and also it saves a few bucks. But yeah, I kind of like, I'm going with the Brook Park Barn Dominium because that's what that place looks like to me. It's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of. Because you're right. When you look at it, it doesn't look like a football stadium, right? It's going to be a really, really nice facility. Like I said, closest front row seat in the NFL, closest last row seat in the NFL. They're going to build a wall. If anyone is familiar with what the Los Angeles Clippers did in their new arena, with the floor to the ceiling, 35-degree incline of it to create a wall of fans. That's going to be the new dog pound. And oh, by the way, the visitors will be running out next to the dog pound. Their goal is to create a real hostile home field indoor advantage because, they're the Browns and they need all the help they can get.
By the way, Minnesota, that glass, that glass roof looks amazing. It really does. It also doesn't look like a football stadium. Then you go in, it's like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. What the Minnesota Vikings have built. Daryl, last thing for you here. We'll talk more football when we hook up, maybe in training camp. Hopefully we'll see each other and can talk. And of course the Bills play the Browns this year. But as we get there, who is the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns on opening day this year?
I got one of four names, and it could be any four of them at this point. But honestly, look, I think it's going to come down to Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett, honestly. I really don't think that they want to play the two rookies, Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders. I kind of feel like because Gabriel was a third-rounder. And look, Shedeur's here basically because they're just like, hey, he's there, why not? Let's do it. What do we have to lose, right? If we strike gold, great. And if he washes out and isn't anything, whoop-de-doo. It was a fifth-round pick. Who cares? So I feel like it's going to be either Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett to start the season, but it would not surprise me if they pivot, if things start out slow. The Browns have one of the toughest schedules in the NFL, especially early in the season. The first 7 weeks are pretty much a gauntlet. It's brutal for them once they get through the Cincinnati Bengals. So I think it's a two-man race. They say it's a four-man race, but I would be shocked if one of these rookies started week one.
One of the best in the business. Always love catching up with you, brother. I know that you had an early morning. I'll let you go now, but I'm sure we're going to catch up again as the season gets closer. Daryl Ryder, you can follow him, by the way, on Twitter. I love his Twitter handle. It's Ryder Wrong, F-A-N. By the way, R-U-I-T-E-R. Ryder Wrong, F-A-N. 92.3 The Fan, Odyssey sister station in Cleveland. Thanks a lot, buddy. Have a great rest of your week and 4th of July.
My pleasure, Sal. Look forward to chatting with you again soon, my friend.
All right, you got it. That is Daryl Ryder. In the meantime, you've waited. We have it. Kevin Adams spoke with the media down at Harbor Center earlier this morning, just about 40 minutes ago, and maybe less than that, I guess. And it was a scrum, so we not at the podium while development camp is going on. And we're going to play it for you right now here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Kevin Adams with the Buffalo media contingent.
Can we start with Bo? Where are you at in that situation, and how's that coming along?
Yeah, it's a lot of conversations with his agent right now, and nothing's changed in the sense that, we believe Bo's an excellent hockey player that can help our team win. I've maintained same position that if there's a deal out there that makes sense for us that we think's going to improve our roster, we're open to it. But if there's not, we're not in a situation where we're looking to move them out or looking to move them for futures and stuff like that. It's just for me, we want to help our team win hockey games, and he does that.
Are you prepared to match an offer sheet for both?
Absolutely, and that's why the position, you know, the moves we've made and the position we've put ourselves in from the cap perspective has been strategic. You know, we if you leave just enough room in your cap that where you maybe see a projection on a one-year deal, and then someone comes over the top, you're potentially putting your organization in a really tough spot. And so the moves we've made and decisions we've made for weeks now leading up to this point is with that in mind. And so, no, we'll be matching and have the opportunity to have a player under contract I think we think helps us win.
Kevin, you've gotten tougher, you've gotten bigger. Are you confident that there's enough offense on this team, especially with Paterka gone?
Yeah, it's a good question, John. I've thought a lot about that, and, you know, as we set out our off-season kind of plan, we wanted to be harder to play against, we wanted to be better defensively, we wanted a bit more of a veteran presence. You know, of course you want talent, but I think we have a lot of talented players that can produce offensively. We need to be better defensively to put ourselves in a position to take that next step. The moves we've made, starting with the Paterka trade and right through yesterday, have been with that in mind. And yeah, like I want to have skilled players, but I want to have harder players that make, you know, that play on both sides of the puck, that compete, and that goes back to what I just laid out. So yeah, I think we have the talent and skill to score goals, and we just needed to clean up some of the other areas.
Why Alex Lyon, and just what role do you envision for him? Do you envision him as a backup? Do you want him to push the other guys?
Competition. He's a proven goaltender in this league. I think he's a really good veteran. He checks the box of what I, you know, just laid out in terms of veteran presence, like high character guy. He's proven in the league. He's played well in his time in the National Hockey League, and you know, he's going to challenge and push. And but no, we just think he helps us win hockey games.
What you said, want to find? I know one of the goals was to find top six help, especially with JGR. Is there a sense of frustration with trying to find that, and maybe, you know, having it be a little bit more difficult to go about it?
Well, I think based on, you know, the decision we made on JJ, you're moving a talented top six forward out, but you're improving your teams in other ways. And, you know, by getting 6'5" mobile right shot defenseman, a guy that I've been chasing for a couple years now, was critical to cleaning up our decor and how we're going to play. And then getting Josh Doan, who you guys may not know quite as, you know, much. He's relatively young in the league still, but powerful, strong, plays both sides of the puck. We think he's just going to keep getting better and better. So, you know, you're improving your team in a different way. And that was kind of, as we set out this offseason plan, I like skill, of course. You want that. But where we decided to focus our attention and spend the dollars in different ways was to be more competitive, harder player against, better defensively, and that was our goal, and that's why we made the decisions we've made.
What was the thought process on Bernard Docker?
Yeah, I think from our perspective where his projected salary was going to come out, and where we had him slotted as potential, you know, in the eighth spot, call it, with the moves that we had made over the last few days before that. Just felt like that didn't make sense in terms of also with having Ryan Johnson and signing Jones, and Rathbone had a, you know, as a guy that we know can come up, and then that's not counting the younger guys that you never know exactly where they'll be, but that's why we, you know, made the decision.
Kevin, yesterday on TSN, Craig Button said people want to leave Buffalo because they don't think they can win.
We have to earn it.
What's your reaction?
Yeah, we have to earn it. I mean, nothing. For me, nothing changes in the sense of how I've answered this question before. We have to win hockey games. I can stand up here and I can lay out our plan. I can tell you exactly why we've made the decisions we've made. I can tell you why I think we've done a good job in terms of putting ourselves in a strategic position when it comes to the Byram situation. But ultimately, we just have to win games starting in October. If we win hockey games, we earn the respect around the league. People won't say stuff like that.
Were you surprised with a lot, and I mean a lot of the free agents were off the market before free agents even opened?
Yeah, I don't even know. I think that's one of those things that supply and demand a little bit maybe, and your team's focusing on your own players and, you know, weighing there's a risk when you get to noon on free agency is the window opens and you start making the phone calls and getting on the phone like I was yesterday with agents and players and you're explaining where you're at. There's a risk, you know, they have 32 teams to choose from potentially. So I think when teams identify your own situation and you look at the player that you're potentially retaining versus going external, teams make those decisions differently, but that's probably why you saw that.
And with Brian McLeod's new contract, what's kind of the projection for him? Will he take on more of an offensive responsibility?
Yeah, I think, Lindy, I think one of the things I love about Ryan is he showed last year, I mean, third, second line center, he can move over to wing, he can play power play, he kills penalties, he's an all-situation player as a right in the prime years of his career as a centerman. You know, when he was 2 years from UFA, so I felt that this is a really important piece with our team and the role he plays. And you're also, you know, we're buying 2 years of UFA years in the deal that he signed. So I think it was a, you know, win-win for both sides. And if I go back a year ago when we identified him, we made the decision because we thought he had upside. We thought this was a player that could help us now and grow into the future, which is exactly why what he did this past year in terms of his play, and then fortunate to get him on the contract we did.
Have you done any talking with Alex yet, or is all his other stuff kind of pushed out?
Yeah, there's not. Yeah, it's a fair question in terms of the timing now. Obviously, there's not a pressure point like there is in other situations, but I did sit down with his agents yesterday or whatever the day was here recently, and just explained exactly how we feel about Alex, and that'll be ongoing, but there's not the pressure point of other decisions at this time.
Will you be Bernard doing the same thing with Kesselring too?
Yeah.
You can do it if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that, for us, as we look at the role he's going to play, that we'll sit down. We had initial conversations just to make sure we welcome to the organization, but haven't got there yet. But, yeah, we're always open to that. We've done it with plenty of players over the years.
With Bernard Docker, you mentioned the salary point, and I guess it's $875, so I'm curious, like, was he wanting more than that?
Well, no, but what I'm talking about salaries is so people understand you qualify a player to retain the rights, but then based on the rights that they have after a qualifying offer, if they have arbitration rights, they're slotted in based on comps in their class, and that number was significantly higher than that based on the market and the comps that go into it. So when I tell you that the number for where we had him, and I really like JBD. He's a good kid. He's a good player. But with our decor, the decisions that we've, or the you know, decisions we've made and the changes that we've made, you know, we kind of had him slotted in that spot, and that was, you know, the number that you just said was a lot lower than what the arbitration award would have been.
Any concern, you know, it's a right-handed defenseman, depth, that right D. You talked a lot about how those guys are hard to acquire. Like, you got kind of an imbalance, I guess, now a little bit, you know, in terms of,
yeah,
I guess it depends where you put guys, but
yeah, I mean, the way I look at our, you know, our decor right now with Kesselring and Timmins, you know, these are important guys in our top six. So I don't view it as an imbalance. And you know, if you're slotting all the way down to, you know, 7 through 11 on your depth chart, you know, you may have a little more lefties or a little more righties, depending on the organization. But, you know, when it came to the players that I mentioned, the Ryan Johnsons and Jones and Rathbones, you know, these are guys that we felt are, you know, solid players. And if we need to bring someone up because we had injuries or depth, we're going to be in a good spot.
Jones was a healthy. You said the other day, you know, you like how things look right now on the blue line. But what if you do trade well? Who do you envision takes on a bigger role?
Well, I would just—it's a hypothetical, because if we traded Bo, I feel like we're making our team better. So how are we doing that? Are we doing that through acquiring a defenseman or two defensemen or a forward and a D or just forward? So it's hard to say. But when I look at our group of six defensemen, you know, I think we have an excellent group that can play different ways. I mean, you can play Byram and Dahlin together, and you could maybe have a different pair of bigger shutdown guys, or, you know, you're just giving Lindy the options. Just depends on how he wants to do it. And in a hypothetical of if we traded Bo, then I just feel like as I opened this, the only reason we'd be doing it is we felt we made our team better. So I just think we'd be in a good position there.
Jones was in the NHL all last year, but he was a scratch 36 times. They were deep on defense, but what do you see for him here, and what can he do to get more time?
We just think he's a good hockey player, and didn't expect a guy like that to be on the market, you know, in the way we were able to get him. So provides, I mean, he's just a talented player. So I think he could, he could play different roles. And I think he's going to come in and push and have competition, which I think is a great thing.
And then for he's a unique story. What role do you envision for him?
Well, I mean, he's the ultimate, when you do your homework on a guy like that, competitor, glue guy is the word, you know, like a hockey term I'd say in terms of the locker room. But just versatile, can move around your lineup, play up and down, can move to the wing, center. So good penalty killer, just brings a veteran presence to our lineup that I think is really important. And, you know, when you kind of go through the off season and you categorize players and you put them in different tiers of, okay, these type of players are bring this, and these type of players are skill and they bring this. You know, when we had the Danforth type of players, he was at the top of our list. So, you know, as soon as we had the opportunity to you know, go try to recruit him and get him, we did that yesterday.
You've got to do these early moves and signings, but what still needs to be addressed in this lineup?
Well, we like where our group's at in terms of the way the roster sits today, but we'll always look to get better if there's something that makes sense. But I think from, you know, we've done a good job in terms of reshaping the look of our D. I think that's something that was important. We've brought veteran guys in that are, you know, going to help us defensively and hard to play against. You know, we've brought in some character guys. So I think as it sits today, we like where our lineup is. But if there's areas anywhere forward, D to make a move that we think's good, we'll do it.
I think Danforth will be a center.
I think that's you know, up to Lindy. What we talked about with him on the phone yesterday, and just as a group, is we can slide, you know, Krebs can slide to the wing, you know what I mean? So we have options, but I think he's equally comfortable. But I think that's where it's important to have guys like, when you look at the middle, you know, even Kozak, guys that can, they're centers, but they can slide to the wing. And I guess that's a Lindy question in terms of how he sees when training camp goes where the best fit is.
This is a very definite thing. Mason Gjertsen has a very particular set of skills. Something you felt was lacking, or is that something you felt this group on the whole needs to have something like that?
We needed it. I just think that, you know, it's a unique skill set, and he brings it, and he's proven it, and Lindy coached him in New Jersey, so you know, that's helpful as well, just to know the type of guy you're getting to the organization. But you know, he and I had a good chat yesterday, and he'll be ready to go.
There was a report that there's people in management who think the broadcast is too critical. I'm curious if you heard that, what your reaction might be to that.
There's a report that broadcast...
There was a change in producer on the broadcast, and there was a report that there's people in management who think that the broadcast is too critical.
Like our own broadcast?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I love Razor. I think he's funny, and Duffer does a great job. Marty Braun is maybe the most positive guy on the planet. So who do we got? Dan Dunleavy, he's awesome. Did I miss anyone? Those guys are great. I have no idea what you're talking about, but they're awesome.
Can I ask you a quick one on development camp?
Sure.
A few years ago, there was, like, tons of guys here that were eventually on your NHL roster, a lot of, you know, minor league guys. Pretty light roster this year. I'm just curious why the philosophy change.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a philosophy change as much as a lot of the guys that were in Rochester, it's a taxing year. The goal at this camp is less about being on the ice. It's more about getting familiar with the organization and who's who and what does everybody do and what does it mean to be a Sabre. So a lot of the guys that, you know, maybe in other years would have been here, like Hellenius, a perfect example. He's not new to the organization, not just because he's been here and he's been in Rochester. So that's part of it. And then I think sometimes, especially with Rochester's length of the season, you know, you want to make sure they get the rest, and then you get right into their training and, you know, be disruptive in terms of some of the thoughts that if you're bringing guys over. But yeah, so it's a smaller group this year, but, you know, a lot of picks, obviously the picks this year, and then last year, other than Consta. So I think it's not as much philosophical, just more probably the way it played out.
Is there some perhaps thought to, like, getting them some face-to-face time with Gallivan? I guess that's the one benefit that I think.
Yeah, like a Hellenius or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's something we did talk about. But, you know, they can do Zoom calls and get just, they're on programs and Galley's already taking care of that. So it's not as critical, but yeah, I think it is something we did talk about.
Okay, that is Kevin Adams, Buffalo Sabres general manager down at Harbor Center. That's why you hear all everything going on in the background. And I know a lot of you are like, I can't believe not in the media room doing this. He's watching development camp, right? He's the GM. I get it. You know, they could have done it a different time. That's fine. But we played it for you. You have it there, and now you can react to it. 803-0550 is the number to call. Anything that struck you there. Obviously, the Bo Byram situation, the Alex Tuck situation, and a couple other things that he touched on there we can talk about. And I'll hit on those when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you on a Wednesday where the Sabres continue to hold development camp. We also continue to wait on the Bo Byram situation to sort itself out. I'll let you know exactly what Kevin Adams said on that and have my thoughts as well as yours at 803-0550 here after this time out on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
We believe Bo is an excellent hockey player that can help our team win. You know, I've maintained the same position that if there's a deal out there that makes sense for us that we think is going to improve our roster, we're open to it. But if there's not, you know, we're not in a situation where we're looking to move him out or looking to move him for future.
So I like a little bit of what I heard from Kevin Adams right there about Bo Byram, because I agree. And I've said that. Like, why trade him for future assets? Just doesn't make sense to me. I don't think it's an easy situation, though. It could be a tough needle to thread here with Bo Byram. So I at least want to give him that. I know it's easy to just pile on all the time. I get it, right? But this is not a bad hockey player. What you heard from Kevin Adams there, though, I think also confirms just a little while ago what I've believed about the Byram situation as it stands right now. And what I believe is the Sabres are making it known to anybody that'll listen, we will match an offer sheet. Because A, we don't want the future assets. Why? What do we need another first-round pick for? We've had first-round picks, high first-round picks, for the last 14 freaking years, and it hasn't helped. And we got prospects that we're trading off Matt Savoy's of the world right now, right? Like, they have prospects. They're trading off J.J. Paterka's. A little bit more than a prospect. You get my point. Like, there's no need for that. And I agree with that. Okay. That's number one. So we're not interested in your offer sheet compensation. Okay. Number two, the reason they would match it is because they like Bo Byram. And I think there's a lot of things I like about Bo Byram. This is not a player that you just are itching to get rid of off your roster. This is not a player that you just say, we just don't like this guy. We don't want him around anymore. He would like a different situation. Not that he doesn't want to be in Buffalo. This is not a J.J. Paterka situation. Paul has said this constantly over the last several months. Every time he's on, we ask him about Bo Byram. He says, Bo Byram's fine with playing in Buffalo. He just wants a better, bigger role. And if that doesn't happen in Buffalo this year, fine. Then maybe it happens in another year or whatever. But it's not that he hates Buffalo. And he's a good hockey player. And he's serviceable. He's good enough to play in this team. And he can be... When I say this, I say it delicately. Part of the solution, he's not part of the problem, right? So I think from that standpoint, that's what you're hearing from Kevin Adams, and I agree with that. It's the same stance I have, which is, I mean, you don't want to just trade for future assets, but at the same time, he's a good hockey player. You don't mind having him on your team. I think the problem becomes where you do have a situation where you have a player, not saying that he's saying, trade me, trade me, trade me. Maybe he wants to be traded, whatever. Maybe he did say that. I don't think so. It doesn't seem like a JJ situation like that. But he wants to be somewhere else, bigger role, play in the power play, whatever. And you don't want to come to a head where you just have to give him away because it just gets untenable, right? You also don't want to overpay him. And somebody offers him an offer sheet and you're like, you know what? We're going to match this. We don't like the number there. That can happen as well. So I think what he's doing here, he said... Here's an interesting word, strategic. We put ourselves in a strategic position planning for this when it comes to Bo Byram. And to me, the strategic position is, hey, everybody knows we have the money to match. So if you want to offer him, we're going to tell you we're going to match. But at the same time, so that allows them to say to a team, we're not going to do it. Or we're going to do it. But if you want to trade for him, we want that instead. That's what we're trying to do. I think that's the strategic position that he's basically said and putting this team in. I think it comes off as that, you know, just listening and reading around, they're looking for multiple pieces for Bo Byram, not just a forward. Now, maybe one forward who can fit in your top six can really knock their socks off, and you say, okay, we'll do that. There's probably more pieces involved. I don't think it's a one-for-one top six guy. I think it's got to be something they also want to add on to it, another depth defenseman. I don't know. I mean, what are we talking about draft picks, right? Sometimes that happens in the NHL. You swap picks. We're not talking about first and second rounders, or at least first rounders, I guess. So I think that's part of the possibility here. All right. I do think they've put themselves in a position where they at least aren't forced into the Bo Byram situation, kind of like they were JJ. That being said, it's still not easy. On Alex Tuch, I mean, yeah, they're still working towards it. You know, you want to get something done. There's no real pressure here on Alex Tuch right now, right? I mean, really the pressure comes on, to be honest with you, probably not until the trade deadline and seeing where you are. And if you're about, look, I'll give you a scenario here. If this team is actually fighting for a playoff spot and like legitimately fighting for a playoff spot, not, oh my God, they got to go on a historic run at the end and they can still make it. Not like that, not win nine in a row. I mean, like they're right there. They're in a playoff spot. They're very, very close. They're 1 point out with, you know, at the trade deadline. Even if you haven't re-signed Alex Tuch, I think you keep him because, yes, I know you can get something for him, but holy cow, breaking the drought's got to be everything now. It's got to be. And I'll deal with it. And then you let the chips fall where they may. And if you don't and he leaves, it sucks. If you do and he leaves, at least you did it. And you're feeling better about your future. And now you have a team that made the playoffs and it resonates a little bit more, right? So I think that's a scenario. I think the ultimate thing that's going to happen here, though, is like it feels like Alex Tuch will resign eventually. Now, again, he could take this up and say, look, I want to see what my options are. Let's see where you guys are. Let's see where we are. I don't think they're just looking to trade Alex Tuch over the next couple months with 1 year left on his deal. It wouldn't make sense to me after already trading JJ Paterka and knowing this is a player that fits into your organization very well. The other thing that came up at the end of that, by the way, was the report that was written a couple of days ago that the Sabres had made a change in TV producer. And as part of that, the report was that some people in management felt the broadcast was too critical. Listen, I'm going to tell you two things here. I'm going to tell you what Kevin Adams said, and I will tell you that I have personally, because I'm in this industry, have heard the same thing. So I'm going to tell you that I believe him wholeheartedly when he says he has no problem with the broadcast. Pete Guelli, who is the president of the Bills and Sabres, chief operating officer, sorry about that. He's the COO of the Bills and Sabres. I mean, he tweeted out, I have said consistently, we have a lot of things to work on at the Sabres. A critical broadcast is not one of them. He said, I would have been happy to tell anyone that asked. It's tough to respond to everything, but wanted to clear this up. And I'm sure there are people sometimes every once in a while say, ooh, he shouldn't have said that or shouldn't have said this, whatever. Like, I mean, that happens in any type of broadcasting situation. If you're in this industry long enough, radio, TV, that happens, right? But Kevin Adams was like, no, we love Marty. We love Razor. We love Dan Dunleavy. We love Duffer. Like, that's not an issue. He basically seemed literally like totally taken aback by even the question about the report. So that was out there. And I know a lot of you kind of latched onto that the other day. Yeah, I've heard the same thing. Like, that's not. Those two things are, A, mutually exclusive. They are mutually exclusive if there was any tie into why they made a change. But B, I don't even think that's a part of it from anything I've heard. So I never even believed it anyway. Maybe somebody somewhere said that, and that's why it got reported, but to me it was never an issue. Anyway, that's where you stand on those particular topics. I also feel like Ryan Johnson's going to have a spot on this team based on what Kevin Adams said just a little while ago, like the way he talked about Ryan Johnson. The way he talked about just some of the additions they've made, where guys fit. So we'll see where things go. 803-0550 if you want to jump on board. We have a few minutes left here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll get connected with you, our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We have Derek and Zach on deck. They're going to be, do we have Sabres Live today? Or are they in, Joe? Are they in it starting after this show? I just want to make sure.
Oh, they're in right from the start.
They're in after the show. Okay, here. So They're here now. Okay, so they're going to join me here to kind of set up that show and what they're going to be talking about with you today, because you'll have them from 12 until 3 today, and then show up in the Bulldog. But we'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. Derek and Zach are on deck, but we'll wrap up the Northtown Automotive Extra Point show here on WGR. All right, guys. Well, Derek and Zach on deck. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show wrapping up here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Kevin Adams had the scrum a little while ago. I don't think we really learned anything new. I do understand his position right now. That I think what they've tried to do here on Bo Byram, this is my takeaway, and I said this, and I think it kind of confirmed it. My takeaway is, hey, we have enough room. We've made sure, because if any team wants to offer sheet us, they know that we can match, so we can say that, but at the same time, we'll sell them that because we actually want them to trade. So I think I understand what he's trying to do here.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a negotiation tactic. I just,
yep.
Sal, I want something. I need something on this end. I'm just waiting with bated breath for them to do anything exciting.
Hate the I know. Words I'm about to say to you.
Yeah.
I think he's done.
Yeah.
I think he's content with this roster, and he's daring someone to do the negotiations for Byram for him. Because that's something that hockey teams are comfortable with when it comes to offer sheets is, in particular, it was the Sebastian Aho one from Montreal, where basically they did the contract work for Carolina. And the Hurricanes were like, yeah, we're matching that. Of course we are. Because you're not giving us the four first-rounders because you haven't paid them an exorbitant amount. Unless that happens, and you happily take the four first-round picks at that point, I have a sinking feeling now, Sal, Zach, that I think Adams is content with the roster. And as he said, earnestly, if there's something there for us to get better, I'll do it. But it does sound like I wouldn't expect anything much to change from here.
Interesting. I don't know if he's content with it. I do think he wants to still add to the top six to replace J.J. Paterka. I mean, look, if you tell me, if you gave Kevin Adams truth serum and he had to come out and say, no, we believe the answer to replacing J.J. Paterka is in our top six because we didn't have a problem in 5-on-5 scoring and we just have to button up a little bit on our own end, I'd be stunned. But I'd also be disappointed. I mean, the other day, I compared this to the Tremaine Edmonds situation with when he left the Bills. And the Bills said, we have a guy. And a lot of people questioned that. Mm-hmm. But they had a guy, right? Terrell Bernard, who could step right in. I just don't feel, and I would question it. I wouldn't feel the same kind of result could come from it.
Well, to give you the tease on this one in the business here, I'll get more into that coming up next.
Ooh, I like that. All right, I like that. That is Derek and Zach, and they're going to be coming your way next here on 12 to 3 today. So they're taking over the time slot today for Sabres Live and One Bills Live. And oh, by the way, you can go back and you can re-listen or listen to for the first time to Kevin Adams' scrum with the media from a little while ago, WGR550.com. We'll have that. And, of course, on your Odyssey app, that's when you can replay all of our shows, and we appreciate you coming along. Sabres development camp continues tomorrow. They'll have their scrimmage down at Harbor Center. I'm telling you, don't be surprised you hear some hockey in the background tomorrow, guys. I might go down to the Harbor Center to do the show from there. I think it'd be pretty cool. Do the show from there, talk to Paul, watch some hockey. You know, might as well. 4th of July on the horizon, right? Have a good Thursday there. In the meantime, have a great Wednesday. Derek and Zach got you here for the next 3 hours, and then a show with the Bulldog at 3 here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you welcome to the club.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.